Now let us turn to the word of God tonight, to the letter to the Hebrews in chapter 13. Let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing some have unwittingly entertained angels. Remember the prisoners that have chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. Marriage is honourable among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what can man do to me. Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Therefore by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey those who rule over you, and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we are confident that we have a good conscience in all things, desiring to live honourably. But I especially urge you to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen. And I appeal to you, brethren, bear with the word of exhortation, for I have written to you in few words. Know that our brother Timothy has been set free, with whom I shall see you if he comes shortly. Greet all those who rule over you, and all the saints, those from Italy, greet you. Grace be with you all. Amen. So reads that precious portion of the word of God. Now let us all pray. O Lord our God, we do thank you for the dear Lord Jesus Christ. We realise, O Lord, that he is a glorious person. And Lord, when we think of him, we have to say that to us who believe he is precious. And we have to say, O Lord, majestic sweetness sits enthroned upon my Saviour's head. We thank you for the Lord Jesus. And we thank you, O Lord, that we're part of a worldwide family of God. We bless you indeed, O Lord, that up and down this land and throughout the world, there is a people who know and love Christ. And, O Lord, our God, we would not be unmindful at the end of this year that there are many who have been in prison. There have been many who have died. There are many, O Lord, who have been severely persecuted because of their faith in the Lord Jesus. And we do pray that you might be with them. We think, Lord, of that man in Turkey, that American missionary Andrew, who's been in solitary confinement virtually for 15 months, having served you faithfully for 23 years in that needy land. And we do pray, Lord, that very soon that you might release him from that prison. Amen. They want to use him as a bargaining chip for somebody they want in America. And Lord, we pray that you might be very precious to him, and that you might sustain him and protect and preserve him. We pray indeed, O Lord, for those in North Korea, many of them grandchildren of the mighty revival that took place at the beginning of the last century. Lord, remind them there is one who said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be with those, O Lord, in Burma, Pakistan, Iran. We think of that situation in Iran. And we do pray, Lord, that in your great mercy, that you might be pleased, O Lord, to sustain your people there. We know that you have many believers there, and many of them are in prison. But, O Lord, our God, we thank you that their salvation is secure in Christ. And we do pray, Lord, that they might make a good confession. We are reminded, O Lord, that we are to remember those in prison as if bound with them. And we do pray, O Lord, that you might undertake for each one of them. And, Lord, we do pray that you might undertake for your people here at Belvedere, and that you might be pleased to use this fellowship in the coming year if you should spare. Amen. O Lord, our God, we realize that we are instruments in the Redeemer's hands. Nothing more, nothing less than that. And Lord, we pray that you might be pleased to use your instruments here to accomplish your sovereign purposes in the salvation of sinners. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Will you turn in the Word of God tonight to that reading that we had, Hebrews in chapter 13. One thing we do know as we look back upon this past year is that we live in a changing world. Every morning when we turn on the news, we never know quite what has happened. We think of this man Mugabe, and he's suddenly gone. One of my customers was actually in Zimbabwe when he was deposed. And he said it was amazing. He's an international lawyer. And he saw the going of Mugabe. And he said, you should have felt the atmosphere there in that land. The atmosphere was electric. As we look back upon this past year, we see a general election in our country, a snap general election. We think of the problems in our own nation with this Brexit and all the different problems and perplexities that there are there. We think of the earthquakes in Iraq and also in Iran in recent days, and also the terrible trouble that there is in the land of Iran over the economic situation. We have to say change and decay in all around I see. And yet there is one who does not change. And at the end of another year, we must focus our attention upon him. And we have that great statement in the 8th verse of Hebrews chapter 13, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And therefore, in a changing world, our eyes should ultimately be an unchanging Christ, on the glorious person of the Son of God. And yet, when we think of an unchanging Christ, we have to recognize that change is important for each one of us gathered here as we enter into 2018. For each one of us who are believers here should be growing spiritually. Each one of us should be seeking to have a closer and a clearer understanding of the Word of God. Each one of us should desire that our lives might be conformed to the Word of God. Each one of us should be seeking to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Each one of us should be seeking to have a greater experimental knowledge of our Savior. And if Paul the Apostle could say that I might know him, how much more you and I? But here is one glorious, amazing, incredible person who is not changing. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he is immutable, there is no possibility of change with him. For there never can be a change for the better. And when we look at him, we see in him all that is commendable, all that which is lovely, all that which is glorious, all that which is amazing. And when the writer of the Song of Solomon says, "Yea, he is altogether lovely," he will remain altogether lovely as the unchangeable Christ. And how thankful we are for that. Now, right throughout this letter, we are told that with the coming of Christ, there will be a remarkable change. A new covenant has come, a glorious covenant that is amazing and wonderful, that the old was but a shadow of that which has now come. And how glorious it is. And it's all ultimately centered upon the unchanging person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here were these unsettled believers. Here they were. Some were saying, "Shall we go back to Judaism? Shall we leave this all together?" And so the writer of this letter, as he comes to the end, makes a number of exhortations. But in order to encourage these dear believers to be firmly grounded in Christ, he says, "Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He that was yesterday my people will continue to be my people." Now we know from Malachi 3 and verse 6 that the great Yahweh is unchanging. "I am the Lord, I am Yahweh, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." And in the same way in which he is unchanging, so his Son is unchanging, the second person of the ever-blessed Trinity. And that is a great comfort to the Lord's people. You remember right back there in chapter 1 and in verse 10, we read, "You, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all grow old like a garment, like a cloak you will fold them up, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will not fail." And what a comfort that must have been to these dear believers. "Shall I go back to Judaism? Shall I give it up altogether? How shall I persevere? How shall I continue?" And they needed to know that they needed to be rooted in the unchanging person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now he is the same in his person. You see, when the Lord Jesus left here, when he ascended into heaven, when he sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high, he took his perfect humanity with him. He is the man, Christ Jesus. He is the same in his perfect and his blessed character. He is the same in his righteousness and faithfulness. He is the same in his love and in his mercy. He is the same, dear believer, in his patience. And we see his remarkable patience with those disciples. And in his amazing tenderness. He is sublimely unchangeable. And he is infinitely perfect. And what an encouragement that is to you and I as we live in an uncertain world. And we face a new year tomorrow, 2018. We think of our glorious Saviour weeping at the tomb of Lazarus. We see a man in his perfect humanity weeping at that tomb. And we look at him there. And because he dwells outside of time, he dwells in eternity. He is touched with the needs of every one of his people. His heart is filled with tenderness and ever yearns of love. And when we lose loved ones, He is there in his perfect humanity by his Spirit. In John 11 and verse 5, we have this simple yet profound statement. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. They were precious to him. And if you are a believer here tonight, you can place your name there. The Lord loves, and your name is there. And what a remarkable and a wonderful thing that is. What a glorious statement of perfect, unchanging humanity that the Lord Jesus loves every one of his people gathered here tonight. The believer is precious to him, and he shed his precious blood for every believer. And because of that, he is the friend that sticks closer than a brother. When he gave the Great Commission at the end of Matthew 28, he said, "Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." And in the same way in which the Great Commission is still binding upon the church, so that great statement is still an encouragement to God's people. The unchanging Christ is with them to the very end of the age. But also we have to say he is the same to those who need the gospel. Wherever Jesus went, he was sought. People sought the Son of God. There was the leper, and he said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." There was the outcast. There was blind Bartimaeus. "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." There was that man called Legion, who lived among the tombs. Imagine a wild man living in a cemetery. And you go by, perhaps, and you tell your children to be careful of him. He's a vicious, violent man. And the Lord Jesus dealt with him. And we read of him sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. We think of the tax collector. And he had one among his own disciples. And we think of the chief tax collector, Zacchaeus, looked upon as a scum of the day. And my dear friends, if he was accessible then, he is accessible to you this evening. Young person, you may have sat here over many months or many years, and you may have heard the word of God in your home. And what you may not have known was the tears of mum and dad longing for your salvation. Then let me tell you tonight, because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, he's accessible to you here in this place at this very moment. A few weeks ago in my stall in London, you know, some of you know I deal in little bits of paper called stamps. I noticed there was a collection missing, £400 collection of Persia, Iran. Fairly valuable. About 10 o'clock in the morning, and my heart sank. And when I got home, I reported it to the police on the internet. And they were very kind. They rang me up and they spoke to me and they wanted to know where I was in the market and everything else. They were very kind. And the following Saturday, about 6:15 in the morning, one of my customers came in and he bought this collection. And he said, "Look," he said, "when you put my stuff down, you put it on top of this collection, and I took it away by mistake." Now, what does that tell me? It tells me that this particular man can be completely trusted. If you buy things on eBay, you give a feedback. And we have a glorious Saviour who can be completely trusted. And he has millions of feedbacks down through the last 2,000 years. And many of those feedbacks will say tonight, I was prepared to lay down my life for this glorious person. Because he can be completely trusted. There's a baker's in Southend that has a little statement on the window. Thin people are easier to kidnap. So stay safe, eat cake. If you're diabetic, go near the place. But my dear friends, stay safe. Trust Christ. Trust him. He is completely trustworthy. Trust him as you are. Trust him in this place tonight. Trust him in the seat that you're in. Young person, older person, if you don't know Christ, if you've never known what it is to trust him, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you must trust him here, now, at this very moment. For who knows, there might not be a tomorrow. And you must trust him because of his glorious saving work on Calvary's tree. But thirdly, believers going through difficult times. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And who knows what difficult times there will be if God spares us in 2018. But I can tell you this. He is the same. Because he will not break the bruised reed. He will not quench the smoking flax. He is there for you. And in your great trouble, I would encourage you to trust him. How many of God's people can testify that he comes and strengthens them and meets with them in the midst of suffering? Now, there was a funeral a few weeks ago at Wattisham of Joan Rushbrook. Some of you know Jonathan Gooch. It was his grandmother. She was a remarkable person. She was totally crippled and often in agony. And she never complained. And Jonathan gave a tremendous tribute to his grandmother at the funeral. She didn't even ever ask people to pray for her, that I will remember. But oh, how she loved the Lord. And oh, how she was known. I used to call her the Wattisham newspaper. Because she knew about everybody, not about being nosy, but so that she could pray for them. And now she's in glory. And in the midst of your trials and in the midst of your tribulations at the end of this last year, we have not a Christ like Esther and Ahasuerus. Esther didn't know whether she was going to hold out the golden scepter. We have one who's immediately accessible to every single one of his believing people. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, he's unchangeable in his word. His words are still true. His words are still vital. His words are still suited for every condition, even though 2,000 years have passed. And we are to lay hold on the precious words of Christ, for those precious words will lift up and encourage us in our journey from this world to the next. We are told in Hebrews 13 that we have no continuing city, but we seek one which is to come. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. Isn't that wonderful? And that we have a wonderful shepherd, a tender shepherd. And everything he says is totally reliable. Some people make promises and they forget them because they're human and they're fallible. But his promises are always totally reliable. But we must remember this, to quote one of the old writers, Christ gives his promises, but providence tries them. And often the promises of God are tried by the ordering of circumstances in our lives. He is unchanging in his work. He always lives to make intercession for us. We have a great high priest in glory. In chapter 7 and verse 25, we are told, therefore he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Isn't that wonderful? And there are times, my dear friends, when God's people are so troubled that they don't feel that they're able to pray. I dealt with a man recently. He said, what I'm losing, he said, is a sense of the Lord's presence in all my afflictions. And I reminded him that he has one who is praying for him in the glory as his great high priest. He is there as our representative, as our advocate, as our friend. And in the first century, an advocate wasn't a barrister on £500 an hour. He was a family member. He would go to the court and he would plead for the person accused in the court. And we have a family member who pleads for us. And he pleads for all his people. Because, as I said earlier, he's outside of time, he's in eternity. My dear friends, if he were fickle, if he were changeable in his word, how could you trust him? If he was loving one day and indifferent to us the next, if he was like some of us as parents, dear friends, some days are better than others, aren't they? We feel different than others, but he's unchanging. Remarkably unchanging. And therefore, how we must trust him. But we have to say this too. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's unchanging in the fact that he is God. You remember back there in Isaiah chapter 6, and I'm working on a sermon to preach on this wonderful statement here. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Now we know that John tells us in John 12 that Isaiah saw Jesus' glory. I would submit to you that what was there present was the Trinity, the three persons, one God. And when the Lord Jesus was anticipating Calvary, in John chapter 17, and in verse 5, he says, now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Now, what a sight it must have been in that temple. But that is the glory he has in heaven now, as in perfect humanity. And that word glory is indefinable. Thomas Watson calls it the sparkling of his attributes. The one who is altogether lovely is there. And when he ascended up on high, he was glorified with the glory that he had with the Father before the world was. And later on in chapter 17 and verse 24, he prays for his people that they might behold his glory. And you and I one day, by the grace of God, those who are believers here, will behold the glory of Christ without that cry of Isaiah, "Woe is me, for I am undone." What a sight that will be. The unchanging Christ, the one who is glorious, the one who is exalted, the one who is co-equal and co-eternal with the Father. The one who is the adoration of heaven will be seen by you and I, those who are believers here. The highest place that heaven affords is his by sovereign right. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He has all authority in heaven and in earth. And he's building his church. He's looking down from heaven's glory. He has all authority there. And he's looking and he's working in this world like a massive building site. And he knows that there's a great multitude ultimately which no man can number. And he has the architect's plan in his hand. And out there in North Korea, in the midst of so much hostile opposition, he is building his church. In Iran, he's building his church. In Russia, he's building his church. He's gloriously at work. Men will try and obstruct the builder, as they tried to obstruct Christ when he was here. But his purposes shall stand. And because he's there, and because of the work that he's doing, we all each should be concerned with his worldwide building program. Hyper-Calvinism is another gospel. How we need to remember that. And we should be deeply concerned with all that is being used in a God-centered, glorifying way in missionary work and evangelistic work. It was A.W. Pink who said this: if a church does not evangelize, it will fossilize. And oh, how thankful I am for the work that's being done here in Belvedere to reach this needy area with the glorious gospel of the grace of God. There was once a great man called Douglas Macmillan, Free Church of Scotland preacher. He wrote that great book on the Lord My Shepherd, exposition of Psalm 23, and he'd been a shepherd. I used to meet him at a minister's conference at Leicester. And he always used to say to me, "How is it going in Southend?" And I said, "Ah, Douglas, it's like a valley of dry bones at times." "Don't forget," he used to say, "dry bones can live." At the age of 56, he was suddenly taken. And as you and I look out on the hard hearts of Belvedere, we must remember that dry bones can live. And that the Lord is able to bring to life the most people and use them in his glorious and amazing work of salvation. And when this number is complete, this unchanging Christ, the one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, he will come again in power and glory. A man will not have the last word. The bigot in North Korea will not have the last word. The man in the Kremlin in Moscow will not have the last word. Our Prime Minister will not have the last word. The last word will be his, and he will judge the world in righteousness. And how thankful we are that we do know who the winner is going to be. Last Tuesday, I went with some friends to Hyde Hall on Boxing Day. It's always open. It's an RHS garden, and my friend is a karate expert. It's good to have a friend like that when you're sometimes. And we came back and we watched. And Southend United were turning out. And I looked at the faces. And I thought, I don't think they won today. But my friends, we can look at each other's faces and say, we're on the victory side. King Jesus will have the last word. And how thankful we are that he's working his purposes out, and will be doing so in the coming year. Let me quote to you a commentary on this by a man called James Smith. You may never have heard of him. I didn't 3 years ago. You can get him on the internet. He was a minister before C.H. Spurgeon at the New Park Street pulpit. Got some remarkably good things to say. And he says this: immutability is one of the essential perfections of Jehovah. He claims it as his right. He presents it as a source of comfort to his people when he says, I am the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. But the Lord Jesus is immutable, because he is divine. He changes not. He is the same in all the glories of his person, in all the purposes of his heart, in all the doctrines of his gospel, in the greatness of his love, in the omnipotence of his power, in the tenderness of his sympathy, in the merit of his blood, and in his hatred to sin. Is Jesus immutable? Then let us adore him as divine. Let us trust him with implicit confidence. Let us hold fast the precious truths of his holy gospel. Let us seek comfort in him when our earthly gourds wither and all our cisterns are broken. He is the same in darkness as in light, when we are cast down as when we are filled with joy, when providence frowns as when all things around smile and rejoice. He is always Jesus, the Saviour, the kind, the condescending, the faithful, the tender Saviour. He is the same tonight as when we first tasted his love and as when our hearts danced at the sound of his name. His purpose and love are the same. Whatever the changes I find, a trifle may alter my frame, but nothing unsettles his mind. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Let us lift our eyes from this passing world and focus them on him, the Lord of glory, the Lord Jesus Christ, and let us live for him and glorify him in our situation, wherever we are placed, to the praise of the glory of his grace. Let us pray. O God in heaven, we thank you for the one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, you know our situations, differing needs in this fellowship. O Lord, our God, may we focus our eyes on Christ. We pray indeed, O Lord, that we might ever remember there is one in the heavens who ever lives to make intercession for us. And O Lord, our God, may we comfort our hearts. We know not what 2018 will bring forth, but we know that you do. And we know that your Son has all authority in heaven and in earth. Help us to hope and trust in him, whatever happens, for he doeth all things well. Accept our thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.